Now that we know that Councilor Down is here, we're going to get started with our work session. Today is July 18, 2024, and this is the City of Iowa City work session. I'm going to call it to order. Item number one is the review of the public input regarding redevelopment of 21 South Lynn Street. And I'm going to invite our city manager at this time to get us started.
So at your last work session, Rachel Kilberg-Varley presented the public input report. We do have that presentation loaded if you'd like to revisit any of that information. But council expressed a desire to kind of dwell on that a little bit and think it over and then come back at this work session and offer any specific feedback. So no staff presentation, but we're happy to answer questions.
All right.
And the framework, Jeff, was for us, my notes say from last time, that if there's anything that we know we don't want, that's more sort of the guidance,
like
that just know it from the outset.
It's anything that you have a, that you're definitive on, that you don't think you're going to change your mind, right? If you really believed if the building height, for example, mm-hmm. was a big issue and you did not think that this council would approve anything of a certain height, I'd rather know that, and I think the development teams that respond would rather know that up front. Otherwise, I think you express your values, your goals, to the extent that we need to convey them appropriately, but I would urge that we also allow those teams to be creative in how they respond to those too. And the more specific you are, the less creativity and perhaps the less interest you will get in this RFP.
Thank you.
I think in that context, there's a lot of things that I think through that are values that in a decision-making matrix, we would want to have sort of points or values that we can assign towards them. And that's maybe very different than those bright lines of things that we would not tolerate. And I'm not sure where the place for that conversation about sustainability is. Like, yes, it must be sustainable. What does that mean to us? I'm not sure when that conversation happens or how it happens.
So there could be a couple of different opportunities. Certainly now, if you know that there's a certain sustainability approach, climate action outcome that you want from this building, let's have that conversation now. The TIF policy that we talked about, the 2017 TIF policy, does have a language in there about sustainability. It requires lead silver or better with a certain amount of points in the energy efficiency category certain types of buildings. We are going to come to you with some recommended changes to that policy. We're going to actually come to the Council Economic Development Committee and vet those, and eventually it'll come to the full council. And I think that you're going to see a staff recommendation that will broaden beyond LEED, that will provide a little bit more flexibility in how we meet those climate action goals. So your TIF policy, and we're making an assumption that TIF will be needed on this project, but your TIF policy will govern that eventually, and that's a time to take that up. But now is okay too, if you've got ideas on what sustainability means in 2024.
On the specific topic of sustainability, I know I'm particularly interested in the quality of the construction or the quality of the building, and that it's a kind of building that is a long-term permanent investment in our downtown, not a short-term thing. And so while sustainability can sometimes encompass the operational energies that buildings use, it can also encompass the amount of energy it takes to build the building and how long it's around. So I would like that conversation, when it happens, to include that sort of both of those dimensions of sustainability, and then that being part of our decision-making is how much carbon or energy the building uses to operate versus to construct,
yeah.
And that it's something that it's a permanent quality building.
Yeah, I think we can have that conversation. I think that's a good point. One of our goals for this, right, we're looking at the long-term health of the downtown. We're not making short-term decisions with this project. We're really trying to add long-term value, and one way you do that is you build a building as you're describing. So I think you guys can, you know, react to that. Generally speaking, I think if we're simplifying this, and please, if I'm oversimplifying, let me know, but I think you're getting at avoiding construction
light,
with wood.
Yeah, light wood frame construction.
Wood frame construction, which is going to be the cheapest route until the building code requires you to move to steel, which tends to be 8 stories or more. A lot of the buildings that you've seen in around town at that 4 to 6, 7 are stick built or wood frame construction. So we could certainly require higher construction standards regardless of height. And I think that would align with the goals of the long-term benefits. It will increase cost if it applied to a shorter right. building. Again, once you get past 8 stories, you're going to be in that level of construction anyway.
Councillor Dunn, I know that your hand is raised.
Thank you, Mayor. I guess I just have some broad comments that I'd like to share about my thoughts on this. One of the main priorities that I've heard from folks and that I really agree with is I think it'd be amazing if we could, in attempting to preserve some ground level commercial space, if we were able to do something to provide, you know, an incubator space for small businesses. I think that that is something that would require an immense amount of planning, you know, input from the business community as well, as to especially how we develop a process to, you know, get businesses that are off the ground, you know, eventually out of that space and into another space that suits their needs so that other businesses can you know, access that public benefit. But that's something that's really personally important to me. We have a really prime opportunity to potentially, you know, give small business owners and entrepreneurs in our community access to the biggest market. And I that is something that over and over is mentioned to me as one of the most difficult problems that small business owners, especially people who work and run food service, that they run into. Doesn't have to be food service. It can be market, can be whatever. But that's something that I'm super interested in. I also would share interest in, you know, the design and building aspects that Councillor Mo is bringing up as it relates to climate and long-term longevity. But yeah, that stuff's really, really big priority for me personally. Would also love to hear what other people think about that.
Can I ask you a question, Councillor Dunn?
Of course.
I'm curious. I share your excitement about the opportunity for a incubator space or a, you know, a Nubo-like kind of thing. But would it be a no-go for you if a cultural institution wanted to be in that space or a different tenant? I mean, in the context of this conversation, what are our bright lines for no? Is that for you a it must be that or just a high value you'd like it?
I think that if we can identify, you know, a mix, I think that'd be ideal. But as long as we can have some capacity for incubator space, that's going to make me happy. I wouldn't say it's a no-go if we find the right, you know, organization or cultural, you know, space to go there. It's a quite large space. So I have a feeling that if we're looking at a very specific micro level at that point, I have a feeling that there's not going to be too many problems with shared space. But I don't know. I wouldn't say it's a red line. It's just something that I really want to see.
I think for me, we've had a lot of public input and ideas on this. So I would want staff to kind of take a, you know, a step back, look at it. I don't have a this must go there. When I do hear about the incubator space, I already realize that we have Merge Downtown. There's also, you know, Dream City coming on board. There's one in Coralville. So, you know, we would have to do a needs assessment for some of this stuff. But not to say I'm a, you know, totally against it if that's what will be proposed. I'll consider it at that time. But I don't know that I have any specific direction that I want to give the staff at this point. We have a bunch of information that has come from the public. I think we should, you know, kind of shift through that and then make a recommendation that seems to be in line with our strategic goals, which staff is well inundated and knowing. And so I'm comfortable with just waiting to see what the next iteration of this process brings.
And I guess I would add, it's not, it follows well after the mayor because it's sort of generalized in that way. One of the things that I would like to see is, and I think any design firm worth their salt is going to do this, but something that complements the surround. You know, we have the senior center, we have brick buildings around it, and I'm not dictating any of that, but like be creative with that while attending to the space, because where the Chauncey is different from where Hotel Vetro is, from where 21 Lynn Street is, and the surrounding areas. And so I think that thinking about a new building in a way that complements what we have would be fantastic, and to be attentive to that. I'm also mindful of, I think, from the feedback that we got, that Rachel and her team have collected, that there was a lot of really valuable feedback over at on the Ped Mall where the market is, right, where there's that transition space. So something that actually is drawing people in. Right, I'm not an architect, I'm not a designer, I don't know, but these are things rather than my red lines of no, it's more like I want to highly encourage that type of inviting in so that this is a space where people maybe walking by and go, God, that looks really interesting, and that there's things for them to do, but that initial invitation isn't necessarily, I mean, there really is a design element to that, to draw people in. So I would be interested in that kind of welcome.
Yeah, can I want to, go ahead, I've spoken more.
No, go ahead.
I wanted to, I mean, the example that Jeff provided us was height. And talking about complementing or somehow fitting in is something that is obviously going to be the most controversial part of this process. One of the things that has been percolating in my mind is how do we say it fits in, right? You know, are we going to wait until the last minute to say it fits in, or are we going to give some kind of guidance? And one possibility is to acknowledge the fact that downtown is listed on the National Register. Just simply stating that building can be as tall as you would allow, but it can't detract from that. It can't delist that, if that's a way to think about that.
Yeah.
And I don't know who gets to be the arbiter of that in the design phase. That's the tough piece, because those kinds of things don't happen. But I'd be curious to hear your all thoughts on how we set some kind of guidance for how tall this thing is going
to
be.
Well, and just to be really clear, very short, to be clear, I want to encourage the creativity as well as the complimenting. So when I say I'm not trying to do like a coded, like I actually have a height in mind. Please guess what it is.
Yeah.
it's not that, because in fact, I've seen designs, you know, they haven't come to fruition where there've been really interesting, very tall buildings, right?
They step back, they change
and
materials.
So I just want to encourage that it's like, that it is, there's an awareness of the surround and that it, and that there is a sense of complement. It may not be that it fits in exactly,
okay,
but there's a complement to it.
Sure.
So at any rate, I just wanted to add that I don't have a height in mind.
Yeah, for me, I see from the assessment we receive or from the like the survey we did with the public that they have also like they want to encourage people to come downtown from immigrants and people of colors to the downtown. And I think if we look at the downtown where we have all these businesses, we're gonna see few businesses are buyback community here in the downtown. And I'm not like really, for example, asking for another incubator or anything, but I if there is any space for business, doesn't matter if it's a restaurant, doesn't matter if for buyback community to start their business for 13 years. And this is will be like, if their business is successful, they can see somewhere else to, because everybody will know them and they can either stay in the downtown but go and rent there, or maybe just like, you know, go somewhere else. And that's what I mean. If we can find to encourage people to come to downtown, the people come to the thing that they relate to. And I think like more buyback businesses downtown will be great to be added to this. This way we will draw people that not normally come to the downtown so they can come to the downtown.
I agree with you 100%. And I think that, you know, emphasizing a sustainable retail incubator, whether that's, you know, food-based or mercantile-based, like I've heard from members of the downtown district, I've heard from business owners, that barrier to entry is extraordinarily high. It's extraordinarily high for, you know, the least, or pardon me, the, you know, the average level of disadvantaged people in our community. For people who are more marginalized, it's extraordinarily, and sometimes it's not a barrier that can be passed. So, you know, 100% agree with you on that one.
I think big picture on that point, I'm remembering with the South District Market that we actually changed the zoning code to enable a use that could help subsidize those spaces. And I think that premise, I could see there may be cities that would approach that very, very differently, like that we are, so that however it's framed, so that potential developers know that we are a community that values this and wants to encourage it, not like we just want a Louis Vuitton store there and that's, you know, what would make us happy. I'm not really, at this stage, I'm not interested in like suggesting specific uses, but I think as to the sustainability, having a building that the use can change over time. I know we've talked about concerns, just for example, with the Rise and the fact that like that's student housing and not a whole lot more can be done with that massive physical structure. And just trying to be cognizant of the flexibility of the space itself. I also just wanted to say publicly that we do know that there was a decent amount of public input looking for green space or a park, and I really appreciate the fact that we've been very clear in saying that's not what this space is for, and that we want to encourage this to be a place where the public is very welcome and feels, as you said, invited in, and not not exclusive, right? That it doesn't feel elite. I think the Chauncey is always the example that comes to my mind of my favorite public bathroom in Iowa City, you know, and you can walk in there. And even though it's a very nice hotel and condos, you never feel like you're not welcome in that facility. So however that can be done through design, I think is really important. And then just, yeah, the long-term flexibility and the mix of uses and having the density that is appropriate for the very, you know, core of our community.
I can't say there's anything that I strongly disagree with that anybody has said, so that's great. I think we are all close. I think, as with, I think, Councillor Burgess and the mayor's comments, you know, I take right now more of a general view, so I agree with the idea that some sort of, you know, commercial opportunities that are lacking from downtown is probably one of the things I heard also in the surveys. Without specifically right now me saying I want it specifically to be this kind or that kind, but certainly be interested in all of the things, you know, that have been mentioned. Certainly would be great. Just to be on the record, because we started this conversation with building height, I also don't have any problem with a taller building as long as it, and Councillor Alter, I think, said this, complements. You know, when I stand on that corner there by just down from the Englert and sort of look at that streetscape, it's kind of cool, right? It's really cool. And so I don't think height is the defining factor of something that complements, but certainly whatever that design looks like, that fits. Like, I don't think a Chauncey design fits in that corner in the same way that, you know, different kinds of materials might be more fitting in with sort of the character. At the same time, you know, definitely, I love that openness also of the Chauncey. I think I agree with that. It's almost a semi-public space, and I think that's that's pretty cool. So, yeah, so there's no hard red lines in any of that statement, I guess. But
actually, it does occur to me, one thing that, and you're talking about the rise, I want to keep it general in terms of comments, but one thing that I would have a very hard time with is luxury student housing.
Agreed.
I just don't think there's a need for it. And so I would have a very hard time with that.
I mean, we didn't specifically say affordable housing. We did mention the strategic plan, but I suppose it's worth saying.
What's my red line?
Yeah. But also something that would be, you know, we're looking for. And I think we mentioned that in other sort of contexts with our strategic plan. Well, but just to make sure it's part of this conversation tonight, that that's one of the reasons why I don't have I'm not against a taller building, because as Councilor Berg has said, we want to see something multi-use, and we'll get more multi the more floors there are and more space is available.
Core downtown as well.
Any other comments?
I just being specific, since other people were bringing up very specific items, I would also say that I don't have any major concerns at this point about building height, and I would also share the comments that were just made by Councilor Alter. I'm not very interested in luxury student apartments.
All right, great. Thanks.
So just if I could just recap as we sum up, sure. So everybody's clear on next steps. We're going to get the Council Economic Development Committee together in the next few weeks, and we're going to start to look at the TIF policy that was last written in 2017. Staff will present some suggested edits to that, work through the Council Economic Development Committee. Once that group feels good, we'll bring that to the full council for consideration. The idea is that we're updating that policy before we see any responses to this, so it doesn't look like we're tailoring a policy to responses received. While that's going on, Rachel will take the lead in drafting the RFP, and we'll bring that draft back to the full council. We won't take that through the Council Economic Development Committee. We'll come and we'll do probably a work session or two so that we can get that hammered out. And our goal is still to release the RFP in September. Okay.
All right. We're going to move on to item number two, which is a review of City Council pending work session topics. I will say that if we can focus on what is here and not talk about things that are not or add anything to the list at this moment. So just to get us started, you'll see we do have a few currently scheduled items. These are all items that I know that the council is on board with. July 16th, the new tobacco permit moratorium. We'll get an update from our city attorney. July 16th, we'll also have the City Hall and Public Safety Headquarters Space and Needs Study Update. And then on August 20th, that's going to be our free fare transit progress. So we're looking forward to that. The next topic of it really deals with our strategic plan action items requiring council discussion. Now, here there may be some reconsideration by council, so I just kind of open that up to see if there's any other thoughts to what is listed there. There's four bullet points.
I actually do have one suggestion or to get the temperature from people. I do not remember the logic or the rationale. Was there a problem that was to potentially be solved by doing the two-way with Dodge and Governor?
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up, because the Public Works team has been prepping for this one. I think in general the idea was, can we create create safer streets, slow traffic down, and maybe improve kind of on a neighborhood feel around those one-way couplets. So we, Public Works has spent quite a bit of time working with our consultant to diagnose this, and we're actually ready to come to you now and talk through the pros and cons, and we'll have a staff recommendation for you on that. So it's not under the currently scheduled,
but it's ready to go.
It's either going to be July 16th or that first meeting in August.
Then. Thank you. Yeah. Perfect. I'll just take
myself. So if we drop that now, that'd be pretty rough, huh?
I am in no way, shape, or form. This is great. I look forward to hearing what the...
Including the price tag for it.
Correct. Okay. We'll be part of the pros and cons. And
I will just say that I'm very interested in the regional transit system. I know that you sit on the Metro board, and so... this I want to keep there, so at least to have the conversation, even if it's not all what it's cracked up to be. So.
Yeah, no, I think now's a great time to start working on that. And I, not only at the MPO level, but at the Better Together Working Group for Pillar 3, which is the mobile connected region. And we have an opportunity relating to possible relatively near-term activation of the Crandic Corridor with electric battery-powered trains that we're looking at. So I do think maybe setting aside some work session time to get that presentation and update. And if, I don't know what the council would like to do as far as the regional transit system sort of statement, but I would be happy to take that to the Pillar 3 working group or try and, you know, get other entities on board. Whatever you want, I'm happy to put a lot of energy behind this one.
I guess I would I'm not against that, but I think maybe working with staff to create that statement and bringing it to us.
Are folks comfortable with that?
I am. I think that with regional transit, everybody says, well, just have a countywide transit. And then you realize there are so many rules and it's so complicated. So actually having a public work session where we explicate that, why it's so darn complicated and hard, because we all want it so badly and can't get it done. So I think that conversation is worthwhile for the community.
I know that the one there about the legal steps discouraging preventing bad faith and predatory property investors is one that, in fact, I just within the last 24 hours got some updates on some of our bad faith property investors here in and around our community and the way they're letting their properties, they're upping rents with the justification of more maintenance and then doing no maintenance. I hear it from my mom, hear it from other members of our community. So I don't want to see that one fall off, or at least I'd be open, like maybe there's a way to, because we've already done some stuff looking at some legal. I know that we had some discussions on that last summer, I think, last fall maybe, at that time escapes me. But to leave something on there, because that's going to be an ongoing problem. That we deal with we're still struggling to find ways to deal with. So.
Is that perhaps, and because I know that Redmond is active at our lobbying, right, as a city, what we're advocating for at the state, and I know that this is a pretty high priority among several of our state representatives, that I'm wondering if there is a way for those two things to come together, since I know that in terms of the legality, we don't have the leverage to do that, but perhaps by the city somehow finding and carving out more opportunities to advocate for the state to do something might be possible.
I think if I were to recommend something here is we might, this might be too narrow by just having it at legal steps. Like I wouldn't take that out, but maybe, or other measures to try and whether that's, some sort of when things start breaking down, inspections. I know that not all of these parks are in city limits, so they're not in our jurisdiction, but there's a couple that are. And so I don't want to, I wouldn't like to see that. I mean, there's nothing pending, but maybe that's something we can circle back to.
And I feel like I might be jumping in at where Mayor Pro Tem would, but I think it's a safe thing for us to agree that we all want to continue pushing hard on our affordable housing action plan, and to try to actually, and I know that we have some movement in that, but to continue looking at significant scale affordable housing efforts. So I don't particularly see any bullets on here to get rid of.
and these are, this is verbatim from your strategic plan action item. So I don't really, didn't really anticipate these first four bullets. It's more of a timing issue and just getting them scheduled. It's the other topics that have been either carried over from past councils or kind of hanging out here for a while.
Do we need a discussion on city charter since we have a current city charter working on the city charter? Yeah. I'm curious why that's.
Well, I know that that was a Councillor Dunn initiated work session topic. So any thoughts on the discussion for city charter, Councillor Dunn?
I think we can remove that one for right now. I think like Councillor Moe has stated and Councillor Burgess has stated to me in private, I think it's time that we just let them do their work and see where the chips fall.
All right.
And then can somebody explain to me the one above that, the impact of land use decisions on long-term, or the origins of that bullet point?
Yeah, this was really a concept that Councillor Thomas had championed and has been on this other topics in some way, shape, and form since probably 2 or 3 years. But it's really trying to consider how different land use patterns and the infrastructure needed to support those impact the city financially over time. So at a very basic level, sprawling acre executive residential lots versus denser, more diverse housing, what's kind of the infrastructure cost per unit would be one way to think about that. It looks at downtown style development versus big box style development and compares the long-term cost on the city. Councillor Thomas, I think, had ideas to bring in a consultant to kind of describe that to us, which is why that's been hanging on here. But
is that conversation needed to effectively craft the pending revisions to the comprehensive plan?
No, I don't think so. And I think that we recognize this concept already. You see that in the form-based codes that we've been developing. So I don't personally believe that that's needed. I think you will see that this narrative discussed with the comp plan. So I think it eventually makes it to you in the context of that comp plan.
I think with the form-based code, this is definitely being addressed. And so
I agree.
I don't know that we need to leave it on there any longer unless there's someone that feels strongly about it.
I'm interested in it, but I think the place is with the comp plan.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
One that I'd be interested, I'm not sure if I was the one who suggested it or not, but the strategic plan decision-making framework, I would be okay removing that simply because we have the strategic plan that also has, you know, like what's the amount of lift, what potential years there are. I think that we sort of have that built in to our strategic plan. I do reiterate that I think we need to get together to revisit the strategic plan as current council, but I don't think that we need to then figure out some kind of a rubric or a framework that overlays essentially something that we've already built in. We can tweak it. So at any rate, I don't think that we need to make something out of whole cloth. So that is redundant. That very first
so just
one.
Editing the framework of editing what we'll be looking at with the strategic plan. Essentially, we're just going to review the strategic plan all together.
Yeah, I just don't think that we need something where it's to create a strategic plan decision-making framework because we've basically prioritized within the strategic plan.
I think that came from a pattern of us kind of straying from, is this following the plan or not, you know, and we'd kind of go off. So as long as we're keeping the plan in focus, I agree with removing it. But I also think, you know, maybe now's the time to say, hey, we want to have some kind of retreat with the current council around the current strategic plan. So that's going to be additional time. That is a work session. Where does that fit on this list?
And I would also say I very much like the subheading that says here are the things that are on the pending list that are part of the strategic plan. I think that's a great call out that helps as well. So,
speaking about the strategic planning, I just had hard time to fit like the matrix that I was talking about for everything that we do as a city. How can we add matrix to like affordable housing or anything else? Where can we fit that in? You think this could be on the strategic planning as well, or how that, if you can discuss?
So I was going to add a review of the strategic plan on this just based on conversations with council. So I think you'll see that, if I'm understanding, we can strike that first bullet on the framework. We'll add a review of the strategic plan, and I think that's the appropriate time to take up the metrics that you're asking about.
Great, yeah, thank you.
Do we need to just say, like, I mean, because kind of the point of this, right, are things that we're directing city staff and maybe ourselves to come up with some information for us to talk about, such as we have scheduled for July and August. Are there some on here? I'm looking at the UNESCO City of Literature update, and I mean, we do updates periodically already in our council agenda. I just started on there. Megan was on there. Was there something more you had in mind for that as a work session topic? Or does that predate you even?
Mayor Teague, I think it was you that requested that one.
Yeah, so I think UNESCO City of Literature, there's so much happening that I think it would just be beneficial for the council and the community to learn about. I'm going to be going to Prague, Portugal with John, the executive director, John Kenyon, the first week in July. And so just to come back and give some information about that and maybe just the bigger picture that's happening, I think so that would be
inviting John to an upcoming work session in August or September.
And it would be kind of a filler. We look for filler opportunities as well.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense to me then.
And do we have any like order for this? Or do you want to do that now?
Well, I've started to do that with the currently scheduled. That's fairly new, just to give you an idea of what we're looking at. So yes, it is helpful if you can say, you know, these two or three items are our priority to get these scheduled, because some of them will require some staff homework. For example, Redmond's taking the lead right now on the review of the city grant programs, just trying to collect all that information and get it in a format that will be ready for your work session when that time comes. But if there's any other priorities on here, it is helpful to know.
I think the crisis response one was one that we said, let's have that conversation in light of sort of fall budget time. Mm-hmm. So just making sure that happens.
Yep.
Yep.
And there are some, just like that one, that does have kind of a date or, yes, a time.
There's a timely component to it.
Revenue was very much in that bucket.
I was going to ask about that as well. Yeah, the lost conversation and other revenue streams. Mm.
And affordable housing, I think we need to start having a plan for that. So,
I do think that the affordable housing is up above under the strategic plan action. Mm-hmm. So I would be comfortable just crossing that out just from that the other topics, because it is accounted for. Yeah, that way we don't have just topics just to have topics. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So people are okay with that?
What do you mean? Like adding? We're gonna discuss.
Yeah, it's up above in the second bullet.
So oh, it is there?
Yeah, so we don't have to have it down there.
Okay. Oh, I didn't notice that.
I also like the way that we've been roughly putting it along the calendar for priorities. I think that that's incredibly useful. And so I would just recommend that we maybe on a quarterly basis or do this kind of sifting through
sure.
because then you don't have to scramble, and you can also tell us like we're not going to be ready for another 6 months on X, Y, and Z, so it's not that it's dropped off, we just need more time. I think that
sure.
it'll just help us be that much more aware of all the balls that are in the air for us as well as for staff. Yeah.
Like the air quality discussion, I think we're waiting on government agencies, right?
Yeah.
But
right.
when we get information, that will be one that will come back.
That's correct.
I am interested on the continuing efforts of the Child Care Coalition. However, I also know that this is like we have committed ARPA dollars, and so I mean it's in process. So I think the type of update that I would be looking for is not necessarily in this next 3 months. Even it would be sort of like as we start pivoting to think about, well, is there a way for us to sustain this? Are there additional recommendations from the Child Care Coalition? So this is one that's not, doesn't need to be urgent, but I would like to keep it on.
Yeah, I guess for me, if it's just updates, I think joint entities is a great place to put it. Mm-hmm. And then if it's funding request, a lot of that, you know, that didn't go through the routine channels, mm-hmm. but I think it's probably at the routine channels to request funding. So I would more be inclined to remove that as a topic that we're interested in. Certainly it may come before the city for us to address it at council level, but I think removing that from here, I would be comfortable with knowing that it'll be coming up in a joint entities meeting.
I would simply want, I guess, the option if there's new information or something that is timely, and maybe that's where you're coming in, like if there's a funding ask or saying this is coming up, this is a new thing that we want to do, that we could entertain that potentially on a working mm-hmm. session. But I see your point.
Yeah. I kind of see it as an entity and having that a part of the city's, you know, pending topic, mm-hmm. I don't know, is the wisest thing, although there are other avenues for that to happen should it occur and Anita's there.
Sure. So consensus on Child Care Coalition update is what?
I mean, it is an update, and so I see to your point that child care that could work well as a joint entities.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just work my back channels to
sure.
get more information from the Child Care Coalition. And if I know that there's an ask or something coming up, I talk to other counselors to see if there's the appetite.
Yes. Yeah. Sounds good.
I'm fine with that.
And our next joint entities is July 15th.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Any other items here that we want to discuss for retaining or removing?
Where is council at on the license plate reader? I'm going through the things that we have not mentioned yet. So I know that we've had a fairly robust conversation about it, but I don't know that we landed anywhere. Is this something that we want to bring back up?
Yeah, we were, you know, this was a budget proposal that was not funded. You'd requested more information, some public education on what these license plate readers are, how they're used. We would, Chief Liston and I would work to produce just that. We probably have the vendor come in and talk about what they are. We'd share experiences that other agencies have had with them, let you know who's using them all around us, that sort of thing.
I would like an opportunity for that to happen before, because I assume it will come up again in possible proposed future budgets, and to have that conversation ahead of the budgetary conversation would mm-hmm. be, I think, helpful. Even if the conclusion is no, to have a discussion now, like I think that would be productive for your budget modeling as well as our decision making in January.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, I would be comfortable with that. We're nearing our stop time. Park master plan. I don't know if this was submitted prior to us getting the...
This might be the longest standing item we have on this list. The equitable distribution of destination parks. From staff standpoint, we don't really need this on there. We feel like we have the plans in mm-hmm. place, and we're actively working towards those, but this was important to council 4 or 5 years ago, maybe.
And I think there have been so many good strides towards doing that.
Yeah, I think we can remove it from our work session and know that staff is taking that seriously. Yeah.
And I was going to say, I mean, we could always request or kick it to the Parks and Rec Commission if they wanted to look at it. But I feel like...
the second one.
Again, I don't want to put more work on.
Okay.
And then the last thing that we have that was just determined by the council was the historic preservation incentive discussion. So I'm assuming we're going to leave that on.
I would strongly prefer that.
Okay. All right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just pause us. We're going to take a break from the work session. So we will come back after our formal meeting. So you can consider yourself to be dismissed at this time from the work session. All right. So we are on to, we're going to go down to information packets, item number 4. We'll start with July 6th. And we do know. June 6th.
That's all right.
Party yes. Too much this weekend.
Oh, my God.
I actually would like to talk about IP2, the Neighborhood and Development Services Annual Report 2023. First, just to say it's, once again, chock-a-block full of information, and thank you for compiling it all. One thing that when we were talking about sort of walking through our pending work topics, we were asked not to add any, but I do want to put kind of just a caveat based on this, that as we're talking about affordable housing, we do have that on our strategic plan, but on page 14 of this report, there is an infographic that shows that we had 54 new single-family dwellings in 2023, which is less than half of its average. And this is a really worrying trend. It is something that our city manager and staff have alerted us to during budget season. But I think that we need to think broadly about what housing is. And absolutely, we are under an affordable housing crisis locally as well as nationally. But Iowa City in particular, we need to be worried about housing stock, period. We need to think creatively and expansively about how to increase our housing stock, not just, it's a yes and. Yes, affordable housing, we have to tackle this head on, and we need to increase all types of housing stock. Otherwise, we're going to see development. We are already seeing the trends. The development is happening in North Liberty, it's happening in Coralville, it's happening in Tiffin. We need to be able to signal and to get more housing in Iowa City. So I just want to point that out.
You said it really great. Saying I agree 100% or more than that. I
so
just
yes
would
and.
Like to, like, just to build on that, I would like to suggest, like, and I see, to see also if the council would like to move on this. I want just, like, every city council, if we can just update, like, the staff can update us. Every city council tell us, like, how many people in the waiting list right now. It's like a warning for us for anything. Like, here is it is this amount of homelessness in the town right now, and this amount of people in the waiting list for who live in Iowa City, and they are Section 8 recipient. Yeah, they are in the waiting, not recipient, actually, in the waiting list. That's what I mean. Like, just kind of reminding us so we can say, oh, yeah, we need to work on that aggressively. I asked the city manager to for that information. I guess even if the staff don't want to say it, I can say it every time. Today, this is the number of the, I really want to focus on this. My next few months is for this, like, until the end of the year, we need, like, to talk about this all the time. That's why if you see me just, like, bringing all the time the numbers, just to remind you that we need to do something aggressive on this. Yeah, and I'm not going to put any pressure on you guys, but I need that numbers so we can just
I don't know if you're intending to get the numbers and kind of just share it with us.
Yes.
I think that'd be great, just to keep it up before us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Any other items from June 6th? We're going to move on to June 13th. And then there's two items that we know we want to talk about. It is going to be IP5, and that is the Joint Entities Meeting, which is scheduled for July 15th. Any agenda items that we want to add?
I think North Liberty and Johnson County are also asking for this, but the pop-up metro, which is the battery-powered train opportunity on the Carandic Railroad, if people are cool with hearing about that.
I think it'd be great. Any other topics that we want to kind of highlight for the good of Johnson County?
I liked the idea that came up in our work session about child care being a mm-hmm. joint entities issue. I don't think it's appropriate this soon, but like getting that coalition teed up to present to with the schools and us and North Liberty would be great.
I was going to say you. Yep.
Yeah.
So it doesn't sound like there's an item outside of the pop-up that anyone wants to kind of put forth at this time. Okay. And then remind us again where the meeting will be held.
I believe it's North Liberty.
North Liberty. Okay.
That?
And they're at their new city hall, so.
So they're just
have it in
North Liberty? Going into the meeting?
That was NPL.
So it'll be at North Liberty. All right. We're going to move on to IP 6, and this is the listening post. And so it is time again. So I don't know if people have up kind of the past listening post and who did what, but probably need to do one. We haven't done some in a while, but so maybe August, because July, probably want to still preserve. Yes. Unless, I have not heard yet about the South District Diversity Market.
It's not going on this summer.
Okay, all right. Because I was going to suggest that we did that. We could do the Farmers Market. Mm-hmm. We've done that before. And we can probably do that in August. And then we'll do one more in November, unless there's two people that want to shift it to July, and then we would do it in October.
I think August is good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who wants to do August and who wants to do November? We'll just go ahead and assign them at this point.
And which location?
What's the date in August?
How about we just identify who wants to do it in August and November, and then we'll work offline with dates with Kelly.
I'll do August.
All right.
I just want to ask about the location.
Oh, I think the locations, we are comfortable with whoever's going to do it to determine. I would be comfortable with that. And if it's not at the farmer's market, it doesn't have to happen at the farmer's market.
I'm flexible for any of the dates, so happy to do August, but if it doesn't matter.
I feel like on the farmer's market, people are coming for something else. Maybe few people will notice that where they are, they're going to come and talk to us. But if we did it like somewhere and intentionally, council will be here, come and talk to them. I would rather do it somewhere else.
So Mayor Pro Tem, during the time Mayor Pro Tem Alter and I, we did it at the farmer's market, and it was kind of a busy day where people, you know, stopped to see us because they had us right there before them, and we weren't there campaigning. Yeah. And so there was, they had us right where they wanted us.
I just mean like not everyone go to the farmer's market.
Yeah, no. And again, there are different places that they've been, but I just suggested, you know, a place that was already having individuals, but certainly.
I would like to be on the west side anytime, I don't know.
Is there a splash pad on the west side? I know that sounds really silly, but is there?
Is there what?
Is there a park with a splash pad? on the west side?
It is Barca's Willie
Or
Creek,
I mean, part where, Park, but you know, where just a lot of people gather on the weekends. That could be a, they'll be there anyway, but you're going to where they are.
Yes, so, exactly.
We do hydrant parties in the summer.
Oh,
where we
fun.
Just kind of open up the fire hydrants and let the kids play in the street. We'll close down the street. Thursday, August 15th, it's during the day. It's 1 to 3 during the day, but we'll be at Pheasant Ridge Neighborhood on the west side doing that. So that's off of Bartlett and Robert. If you want a daytime, I don't really know how many adults will be partaking in the hydrant party, but maybe supervising the kids that are running around in the street. That's one option. We don't have a splash pad.
Yeah,
the closest one would be in
Grantwood or Weatherby.
So yeah. It sounds like, are you wanting to do August, and maybe you and Don can determine what?
I want like Laura and I, because Laura represent District A.
Sure.
So if you and I can do some time there, and if somebody want to do that.
Do you want to go in November?
Does it matter?
Okay.
Yeah.
So you two in November, okay. And you'll figure out the location. And then Don and Mo is in August, and you all will work offline. That sounds great. Any other items from June 13th? Hearing none, we're moving on to item number 5, University of Iowa Student Government Updates. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. I hope you all are well. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. Just checking. If you noticed the lady, the very stunning lady who was next to me tonight in the back, that is not the deputy. So that is our vice president for USG. Her name is Brenda Ramirez, and I'm just so excited to hopefully have more guests from USG come and observe city council. It has been my goal, and I feel like I've reiterated this time and again, that I want to get more members of USG to engage with local government. And yeah, that is just a big thing for me this year. I have a couple numbers in this next point, so just be aware, it's kind of a long point. So the Board of Regents has approved a 3% tuition increase for non-residents and a 1.3% increase for residents in their most recent meeting held at UI. In total, this is an increase of $395 and $270 respectively. In addition, there was also a 2.5% increase in mandatory fees. These percentages apply to the entire 2024 and 2025 academic year, not per semester. The Radiation Sciences Program has requested an additional increase of $1,617 for both residents and non-residents for fall 2024 to help balance their budget through a 3-year program. These are increases for undergraduates, but there are additional hikes for graduate and professional programs as well. And these increases between all three universities are estimated to generate $35 million in revenue for fiscal year 25. And in terms of peer comparisons to other colleges, the University of Iowa still ranks mid to low on these lists in terms of how expensive our fees and tuition are compared to Big Ten counterparts. Additionally, student regent Abby Crow attended her last meeting with the Board of Regents at this same meeting. She's an alumna of UI, and the student regent terms rotate between three regent schools on 6-year terms. USG commends her work and thanks her for her dedication. I finally got an email sent out to the city manager about our legislative agenda initiative of infusing our platforms. I will respond shortly to that once I get word from the rest of my team. And then, lease gap is happening. I ran into some trouble coordinating the program, but all is well. Troubleshooted all the issues. So, yeah, that's all I have for you tonight.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're on to item number 6, which is our final agenda item for the night. Council updates on assigned boards, commissions, and committees. I think we already got that. So, any other items? Hearing none, we are adjourned. Enjoy the evening.
Thank you. Thank you.